AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Well, it's just confirming that it's a weird weather year because the weekend rains were generally disappointing. That's how it's being described. Except for outside the bunker, we got 1.2 inches over the past 24 hours, and it feels like a whole new beginning out there. We'll check the forecast, check the machinery market, and get the latest on efforts to bring transparency to the cattle market.
Live from beneath the big green leafy flag of the week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Representative Dusty Johnson from South Dakota. Right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, boogity, boogity, boogerty, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, let's go racing. Let's get it on. All right, man. And welcome. Welcome to you all to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us as we start another week. We've got... There's many important conversations that are going to take place on the show this week.
Well, sure. We
will get a bit of an update on the infrastructure bill from Representative Johnson this morning as well. You know, Jim Wiesmeyer and I talked about it on the Signal to Noise podcast this morning. Just go to agweb.com. You can find it there. But we spent quite a bit of time talking about the infrastructure bill. And, Davis, if you're looking for job security, I think you've got it in this bill. Because,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's something that even though we continue to hear what the that a vote is about to happen here, vote's about to happen there, we're a long ways from wrapping this thing up is what it sounds like to me, man.
Excellent.
A long ways.
Excellent. And well, you know, once – the next thing up on the docket is the human infrastructure bill. I mean, you thought you had controversy with the physical infrastructure.
Yeah.
Physical infrastructure says, hold my beer.
That's right. That's right. And when the messaging that is coming out of the House, and that's what I want to get into with Representative Johnson, the messaging from the House Speaker, specifically Representative Pelosi, It's some of the most unique messaging that I think I've ever heard. I didn't know if Speaker Pelosi could ever be more confident than what she has been in the past, but she is really confident now to be leading the House the way that she is leading it.
She's feeling it, is she?
She really is. She really is. All right, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, after a coming vote on the physical infrastructure measure, Senate Democrats plan to immediately turn to a resolution to set up the second part of President Joe Biden's infrastructure plan. The text of that resolution, including how much would be spent in each area, could be released soon. Called the Human Infrastructure Plan, the $3.5 trillion package includes progressive priorities such as subsidies for childcare, tuition-free community college, additional Medicare benefits, and potentially a pathway to citizenship for people in the country illegally. For now, the Senate's focus is on finalizing the physical infrastructure bill. The rough package cleared a procedural hurdle on Saturday. Chip, of note, of the 18 Senate Republicans who voted for the physical infrastructure measure on Saturday, only five are considered likely to run for re-election in 2022.
Interesting.
That feels somehow significant.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a signal, I think, that this is going to be a major determining factor in the way that these elections take place in 2022, no question.
Yep. Well, chicken producer Sanderson Farms has announced its sale for $4.53 billion to ag investment firm Continental Grain, which owns a smaller chicken processor, and Cargill. Mississippi-based Sanderson is the country's third largest chicken producer, processing about 13.6 million chickens per week. Combining Sanderson with Georgia-based Wayne Farms LLC, that's a poultry company also owned by Continental, would form a new competitor representing about 15% of U.S. chicken production, according to data from WAT Poultry USA. One of the big problems with the beef market that we've heard come up is that consolidative nature, the concentration, and
Man, and here we go, 15% of the chicken chunk.
Right, would be owned by this group, Cargill and Continental Grain. And just a reminder, Continental Grain is the Continental Grain that it used to be. It's really an investment firm now is what Continental Grain is.
Well, Jeff, this is interesting. New rules for dogs being imported into the U.S. from certain regions of the world were released by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Measures are intended to prevent the spread of African swine fever. ASF has been found beyond the African continent in places including China and the European Union, and U.S. officials are eager to prevent it from arriving here. The National Pork Producers Council applauded that move. You really don't think about all the dogs coming into this country, but evidently it's a thing.
Well, yeah, and if the dog is traveling with somebody, with a companion, they should be under the same restrictions.
Well, Chinese export and import growth slowed in July as flooding and extreme weather at home disrupted factory and port operations and constrained consumption. Despite the challenges, China's export sector showed continued resilience, increasing 19.3% in dollar terms in July compared with the year earlier. This according to data from the General Administration of Customs released on Saturday. And finally, Earth's climate is getting so hot, the temperatures in about a decade will probably blow past a level of warming that world leaders have sought to prevent, according to a report released Monday that the United Nations calls a code red for humanity. The Earth is already warmed by 1.1 degrees Celsius since the 19th century. Within the next two decades, according to the report, warming to more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels is virtually inevitable. Chip.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, let's get an update on what to expect from the weather here over the next week or two. A little shorter term focus here. Michael Clark, BAM WA. Yeah. How do you follow that, Michael? Wow. Goodness gracious. Hey, the weekend rains generally disappointing, huh?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, the models were definitely more excited than what actually verified. There were a few places, a strip across central Iowa and northeast Iowa that got over an inch of rain, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of acreage that got over an inch of rain. It was kind of hit and miss for the most part.
Yeah, well, I feel pretty fortunate because I was in it, and that feels pretty good. Take me out, not just a week or even 10 days, get me out to the end of 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. So over the next 2 weeks, we are going to deal with a little bit more of the hotter and drier, but I am looking for an encouraging forecast. The end of week two, end of the early week three, data is wet and it's possible that it's going to trend cooler. So it's a wetter and cooler end to August is in the cards, and it might actually be for the plains, the Midwest, the people that are very dry and very warm here overall. There may be a refreshing change coming. It's not guaranteed, but we are watching the trends here for a nice change of pace coming up.
Very good. Very good. Real quickly, over the next couple of weeks, though, these nighttime temperatures certainly look warm, don't they?
They do, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. Nighttime lows are going to run 6 to 10 degrees above the average. So that's certainly something to keep in the back of your mind going forward here.
No doubt. No doubt. Thank you so much, Michael. That is Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Coming up next, Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, right here on AgriTalk.
Find farm equipment on Machine Repeats August 17 online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerypete.com.
On your farm, achieving better yields is always the goal. But replacing current equipment with new isn't always an option. Bring new life and new technology to your current equipment with a John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit. It all starts at your local John Deere dealer. Schedule an inspection today to see how a customizable performance upgrade kit from John Deere can unlock the potential of your existing equipment. Search John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit to learn more.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
You ever listen to the Dave Matthews Band, Chip?
Not much, to be honest. Me neither.
No, not hardly ever. Actually, really only when I'm on the show, if I'm being honest. I'm sure.
Same here.
You know, people love his music.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if he's Canadian. It's probably because he's not Canadian, right? Because I know you love the Canadian artists. I'm going to Google it. I'm going to Google it and check back.
You go on with the show.
I'm going to check on it.
Thank you. Thank you. That is stuff we need to know. No question about it.
Well, it is. I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
I know. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. It's Monday morning, and that means it's time for a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. Okay. I hope Davis doesn't get lost there while he's Googling.
Yeah. But,
there's no telling what comes up when I turn on the Google machine.
Well, and yeah, you can go out there looking for stuff on Dave Matthews, but a lot of times you run into the rest of the internet when you're doing stuff like that.
Yes.
And you can be gone for days if you do that.
Look at this shiny thing. Click.
Right.
Zoom. Yes, I believe I will. Can't talk now. Zooming.
Gotcha. All right. You know, I'm going to switch it up just a little bit on us, Greg, because we are going to get to some auction reports and the pick of the week and everything. But at the end of the first segment, and we've been running it for a little bit, there's a billboard talking about the Machinery Pete online auction Tuesday, August 17. Let's start with that. It's really cool what you got going.
Yeah, it's been a long time in development, Chip. We're really excited. And again, it's our first monthly Machinery Pete online auction a week from tomorrow, August 17th. And these monthly auctions are going to be the third Tuesday of every month. Okay. And we're partnering with our good friends at BigIron.com. I've been working with them for 30 years, the Stock Brothers out in Nebraska there. Of course, they were innovators in the online space 12 plus years ago. So, yeah, we're really excited. You can just go to MachineryPete.com. You'll see all kinds of notifications about Machinery Pete online auctions, or you can just type in auctions.machinerypete.com, take you right to the listings.
Okay.
I think, Chip, we've got 116 items on the sale, kind of from all over the country. Great variety of equipment. So we're, really excited about it. We just want people to know this is an absolute auction. So every item goes home with the highest bidder, no matter, you know, what the price. So there's going to be some deals, you know, and that's part of the auction biz. So, you know, absolute sale with no buyer's fees. So we did a lot of research on that and just feel like, you know, there's a lot of different auction formats out there, but we wanted to give folks one that we thought that they would be attractive to them. So again, the sale's a week from Tuesday, August 17th.
Right. Now, if I've got something that I would want to put on that auction, Greg, how do I go about that?
Well, that's interesting. You can, you know, I would just reach out to us at machinerypete.com. Look for the contact information there. One of the staples of what we're doing here with our Machinery Pete monthly online auctions, kind of twofold. First, Chip, we have, of course, so many dealer partners across the country. So, you know, machinerypete.com, of course, we have 110,000 listings for sale. And so we've created a big piece of this for our dealer partners to be able to move items so they can easily take the listing that's already on our site and just shift it over into the auction, kind of inventory management control system. But yeah, then for folks out there, we're looking to sell, you know, we have 1,100 auction partners around the country and up, of course, throughout Canada. So we're actively seeking our auction partners to work with us on this Machinery Pete online auction so that, you know, if wherever you're from, if you reach out, hopefully we can, you know, have a regional Machinery Pete auction partner that can help get the listing into the sale for you. Yeah. So, and beyond that, you know, we definitely want to continue to support all our auction partners, you know, who obviously have their own events. So we've created, and again, equally excited about this, but a new way for them to get listings on their own events to show up in machinerypete.com listings, but it wouldn't say, you know, this piece from, you know, Kentucky's at a dealer lot. It would say, you know, it's John Smith Auction Company or whatever. The auction is September 1st and it's got all the auctioneer's info and a picture. So we want to create, if you're looking for equipment, whether it's dealer, auction, for sale, private, we want to create something where you come with one click click, you know, whatever you're looking for, and just, oh, okay, here's the auctions, here's the dealers, here's for sale private. Nice. And yeah, that's where we're going with this.
Nice. Nice. I love it. Love it. Great plan here with it. So this first one, it's on Tuesday, August 17th. Mm-hmm. Anything bright and shiny on this listing that really catches your attention?
Oh, yes. We've got a couple shiny objects, Chip. The shiniest and the brightest would be the 2003 John Deere 6420 tractor, mechanical front with a John Deere 640 loader and grapple, 100 horsepower. Now, this thing, folks, it's unbelievable, but it's true. It only has 156 hours on it. So exactly the kind of tractor we've been talking about here for, you know, over a year now. It's pre-def, pre-tier 4, and also in that loader segment that have just been unbelievably hot.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking of a sale like a month ago today, July 8th, Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, that was a John Deere 6430, a couple years newer with a loader that brought $114,000. So, again, this 6420 that's going to sell Tuesday, August 17th, it's from our good friends at C&B Operations in Mitchell, South Dakota. Now, I know the store manager out there, Corey Thielen, and it's pretty cool story on this thing. In fact, folks, if you have RFD TV tomorrow, Tuesday, what is tomorrow, the 10th?
Yeah.
We actually have a new TV show also, the Machine Repeat TV Auction Edition, that's going to air the week before our online auction every month, where we will go in-depth and talk about the stuff on the sale. And we go pretty deep on the 6420. Now, one of the guys I know at C&B, Ryan Ellefson, the used equipment manager, his dad sold this tractor brand new back in, you know, 2003.
Yeah.
And a cool thing here, C&B Operations, Chip, they're going to donate 10% of the sale price to a great local charity there in Mitchell, South Dakota. Wow. You know, C&B, they have a real heart for the, you know, the 37 local communities they're in, six states. So very cool. And we'll be getting into that on the TV show, and I'll be posting more about it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram here in the next couple of days. And I see the bidding's already taken off on this thing. So it's pretty cool.
So the TV show is like a video sale bill, right? Is that what I'm
hearing? Exactly. The way I'm thinking of it, it's kind of like ESPN College Game Day.
Yeah.
But it comes on Saturday morning before the football games start. Well, we're just going to do that about the auction.
Very cool.
Talk about what's on the sale. Another tractor on the sale that is kind of lighting up a little bit is a 2019 Kubota M7171. So one of Kubota's, you know, bigger model tractors they're just getting into. It's got 999 hours on it with a loader. It's from Kewaunee, Illinois. Our good friends at Yarger Machinery there, Rick and Lisa, great friends. They do an awesome job. So that's another tractor. If we stay with Kubota, Chip, there's a UTV that's generating a lot of interest on the sale Tuesday, August 17th. It's a 2013 Kubota RTV 1140 CPX RA, 740 hours. It's decked out with the camo design. I think it's got two rows of seating. And this is for sale by Jeffersburg Enterprises out of Beaufort, Missouri. So an 8-year-old UTV with under 800 hours on it, that could be a hot one as well a week from Tuesday.
Yeah. Very cool. Awesome. I'm looking forward to this. Hey, we got a little bit of time left here. I want to get this in. What do you have for the pick of the week?
Oh, pick of the week, Saturday in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, just down the road from me, about 25 miles. Our great friends at Maring Auction had the retirement sale for John and Anita Angel. This was just on Saturday. And, I mean, take your pick. This stuff was beautiful condition. But I'm going to go with the combine, Chip. They had a 2011 John Deere 9670 SDS, 1,139 engine hours, brought $161,000. And folks maybe saw the blog I posted on Saturday about it. But that's tied for the highest auction price on a 9670 in 7 years. And if we dive a little deeper, the average auction price on 9670s is up 8.4% this year. $85,556. And get this, the current average dealer advertised price is just barely above that, $89,827. So it shows you, whether it's a tractor or a combine, if you get just 10 years old or older, that pre-def, pre-tier 4, I mean, it's just unbelievably hot. So yeah. When a nice one comes up like John and Anita's on Saturday, again, $161,000, that was super strong.
Fantastic. Cool. Cool. And I know that there was some other hot items at that auction.
There were. They had a corn head, a 2014 John Deere 608C 8 row that brought $53,000, third highest in the last 9 months. And then if you're in a red equipment, John and Anita had red tractors. So record price on the 2016 Case IH Magnum 340 row track, $190,000. So again, super strong sale.
Thanks, Greg. Talk to you next week. Farm Journal and the National FFA Foundation present the second annual Farm On Benefit Concert. Featuring country music star Easton Corbin, the concert will air on Monday, September 20 at 7 Central on RFD-TV. And your FFAer can be part of it. Just text a picture of them in their blue jacket with the words Farm On to 31313 or use the Farm On hashtag on social media. Join us for the hashtag Farm On Benefit Concert, September 20 at 7 p.m. on RFD-TV.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, good morning. A little bit of pressure on corn and soybeans to start the week, huh?
Yeah, we traded lower overnight. Soybeans pushed higher at the start of daytime trade, but now they're back under pressure again in most of the contracts, aside from the August, obviously. I think biding time here until we get to Thursday's reports. And you know, that's major data coming out, first U.S. corn and soybean crop estimates. So that's big. And then the balance sheets, how that impacts the new crop marketing year and so on. So market moving data coming on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been quite the build up to it. And obviously, we're going to continue the build up to those reports on AgriTalk in the afternoons, 206 Central. Take us over to the livestock trade. There's some it's relentless pressure on that hog market today.
Yeah, another technical breakdown here. So we dropped below last week's lows and hit some sell stops again. The October contract trading limit down. December is not far off limit. Neither is the February contract. So pretty heavy chart-based selling this morning. That's despite big discounts to the cash index and bigger than normal discounts. So a lot of this is just technical based, it appears. But
it appears to be technical based. I think we just lost Beach real quickly in the cattle complex. We've got some moderate pressure on live cattle, down 80 to 95 cents in that market. Feeder cattle futures off just a bit this morning as well. That's Markets Now. Hi, everybody. Chip Flory here. It's almost time for the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, and you can join us for the live nightly broadcast or come to one of the 7 tour stops near you. Or do both. No matter how you experience Crop Tour, you'll find the most followed Crop Evaluation of the Year delivers the insights into potential corn and soybean production that you've come to count on. See you on the tour, August 16th through the 19th. Find tour stop locations and online registration at profarmer.com/register.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Farm Journal and the National FFA Foundation present the second annual Farm On Benefit Concert featuring country music star Easton Corbin on September 20th at 7 Central on RFD-TV.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We had a little technical issue there with Brian at the end of the segment, end of Markets Now, but I think we're back and operational again, I do believe.
We're fine. Yes, sir, we're fine. I feel fine. You sound good. You sound great, in fact.
You sound just as dandy as ever. I'm Chip, that's Davis.
Stop.
Representative Dusty Johnson from South Dakota is joining us right now. I believe we've got him on the line.
Well, you've got me here loud and clear, I hope.
Excellent. We can hear you clearly. Welcome back, Congressman. Glad that you're with us.
Well, hey, thanks for having me. A lot of people have me on once. There's not that many people who will have me on again and again. So you guys are nice.
Love it, love it, love it. So we're making, do you feel like we are making some progress in bringing some transparency, some additional transparency to the cattle market, Representative Johnson? We've got a couple of new reports that are that are starting today, right?
Well, this is a big deal, and we are making headway. I know people assume that nothing ever gets done in D.C., and I'm not saying the place works like it should, but I would say for people who are persistent and who stay focused, if you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, you can get the ball moving in the right direction. And you're right, this is a big deal. We know that now there is 30%, there are 30% fewer transactions taking place at the sale barn as used to. We know that price discovery is an incredibly important part of any market. And so, you know, I've been pushing through my Price Act and with the colleagues on both sides of the aisle to have some additional transparency into the AMA universe. The administration has agreed with us, and so they have rolled out some new reports. You know, I think that the reports are a significant piece of progress. I don't know that they get us all the way to where we want to go. I'd still like to see a beef contract library, and I've got a piece of legislation yes. that would do that. But let's celebrate just for a minute that we are in a better transparency environment today than we were last week.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it is progress. And you know, this National Daily Direct Formula Based Cattle Report that's going to be released today, that's kind of a look behind the curtain at the formula based market, isn't it?
Yeah, and it doesn't tell us everything because we know that there are lots
right.
of discounts and a lot of premiums paid on top of the base price. But I do think even getting the base price, I mean, transparency is not just valuable for itself. It is valuable because of where it leads you, right? You get a little more data. It prompts a question. It can prompt some additional analysis into what is really happening in the marketplace. And so getting this data is going to give us something more to go off of.
Right. Right. The second report is a weekly report, the National Weekly Cattle Net Price Distribution Report. Again, it's going to kind of aggregate many of the transactions that take place and give it to us kind of in one number, isn't it?
It is, and I think there will be people who will say, gosh darn it, we need more granularity, and I don't mm-hmm. dispute that. Again, a lot of the legislation that I've been pushing, I think, would give people a lot more of what they're looking for, but I still think this is a big win because it is going to provide us in this weekly report, I think, a more in-depth analysis in what is happening with these alternative marketing agreements, and that... we don't want the sale barn to go away. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I also don't like the idea of eroding the freedom of producers to be able to enter into some alternate agreements. And as long as they're going to continue to do so and have that freedom and be able to grow to a particular raise to a particular set of specifications, if we can get more transparency into that, even if it's part of a weekly roll-up report, I do think that's going to give people a little bit more sense that the marketplace is fair, as well as maybe what's coming next with regard to how the packers and others will view these agreements.
Right, right. Well, hopefully these two reports will help remove some of the mystery that's in the market. And I think growers, cattle finishers in general, just want to be able to understand how prices are set and how cattle are marketed. If we can gain that understanding, it's going to be a big step forward. And I think these are going to help. I really do.
Yeah, that is super well said. I mean, I think it is going to have an impact on people's conception. I'm not alleging that this marketplace is perfectly fair or perfectly appropriate, but I do think one of the things that contributes to people's discomfort and anxiety around this market is how much they don't see.
Right.
And when we provide some additional transparency, either we're going to figure out what's broken and needs to be fixed, or maybe we'll figure out that some of the behavior has been more logical, has been more consistent, and has been driven more by supply and demand than maybe sometimes we fear.
Gotcha. Yep. Excellent. Okay. Infrastructure. I feel like we need to talk about that. The physical infrastructure bill, when it gets to your chamber, Representative Johnson, it's going to have the human infrastructure component attached to it, or Speaker Pelosi isn't going to bring it up, is she?
Well, that's what she says. I mean, she may end up getting rolled on this deal. I mean, I don't know. Speaker Pelosi certainly knows how to pull the levers of power, but I think she's in a bad spot. I mean, I think overwhelmingly the American people want their federal government to stay focused on the basics, on roads, on bridges. If she tries to marry a $1 trillion infrastructure package with a $3.5 trillion much bigger package that really changes the role of government in people's lives, yeah, she's not going to get the vote she needs to pass it, I think. And so if she wants to draw a hard line on this, she will find that there is no bipartisan solution on the way forward. She's not going to get Republicans to vote for $4.7 trillion of anything. I think a better approach would be for her to set aside the 3.5. It's way too big, and focus instead on the kind of things that we can do together.
Yeah. It's going to be really – it feels like we're going to be past the start of the fiscal year before even if we do gain some separation between the physical and the human bills. It feels like it's going to be into the new fiscal year after October 1 before this gets to President Biden's desk, isn't it?
Well, and so we have a, yeah, you're right. So we have another, I mean, every year we got to go pass bills that fund government, you know, not the bigger capital investments like roads and bridges, but, you know, keeping USDA going. I mean, you know, neither right. of these packages that we're talking about just fund government. And so, yeah, we're going to have to pass spending bills. This has gotten harder and harder, and, you know, I don't love it. I think people, almost regardless of what their political affiliation, probably should be willing to acknowledge that one party government's not the cleanest way to do something. But we got one party in charge of the House and the Senate and the White House. And, you know, if the budget bills that I've had to vote on, the appropriations mm-hmm. bills that I've had to vote on in the last few weeks, I don't think have done a very good job of hitting the sweet spot. I voted no. And at some point, the Senate and the House look like they're going to take pretty different approaches. I think you're right. This thing is good. I mean, there's a pretty good shot that's going to end up looking like a train wreck here before September 30th.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What else are you working on right now? What else is on your priority list?
Well, I do. Of course, I love to work on, you know, ag issues. And thank goodness those are so often bipartisan. You know, we had been pushing for a long time, making sure that, you know, those prevent plant acres, cover crops could be accessed prior to November 1st. And you probably saw a couple weeks ago, we got a pretty big piece of news that RMA and the administration are going to acquiesce to our idea. And I think giving that much flexibility, that much more flexibility, is going to help people use that ground for forage when they need it. I mean, obviously, yeah, we've got drought conditions throughout ag country, and there's not a lot government can do on that front. I mean, we can't conjure forth a timely rain. But, right, you know, we do want to try to make sure we get that CRP released before all the nutritional value is gone. And frankly, that is another area where, you know, bipartisan progress has been happening.
Yes, yes. There's one other item that I want to mention, because it's something that we talk about on AgriTalk at basically every opportunity that we can. But you've got a bill, Support for Mental Health Act, right?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, and part of it just comes because we have put so much COVID money on the streets. And early on in the pandemic, I was for that. There were things we needed to do to keep the economy going. Those early interventions worked. By the numbers, this was the shortest recession in American history. It was done in April of 2020. Not last April, the April before that.
Right.
And so our interventions got the economy back on track. But the more recent COVID package has been way too big and really unnecessary. You don't need to take my word for it. Moody's Analytics said that states and localities got quadruple in the last package what they actually needed to deal with COVID. So what I want to do is I want to give states and localities, states, the opportunity rather than just blowing the money. I want to give them an opportunity to scoop up those dollars and create a perpetual asset. Put them into a trust fund rather than just spending them. Put them in the trust fund and spend the interest on that trust fund, again, forever and ever, on behavioral health. So think substance abuse, think mental health. We've underinvested in those areas. It's time to get it right.
Yes. Good work. Good work on that one. I love that approach. Congressman, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. That's Representative Dusty Johnson from South Dakota. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Davis and I will be back to wrap things up.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Big green leafy flag is out on this week here on AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory. Chip.
Yo. Yes.
I've done some investigation, as promised.
Okay. Oh, yes.
David John Matthews, born January 9, 1967, American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, record label owner, born in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. He's lived in South Africa, the UK, and the United States. The Dave Matthews Band itself comes from Charlottesville, Virginia. Just one quick thing of note here, and I'm scrolling downward. He is on the Farm Aid Board of Directors, along with fellow musicians Willie Nelson, John the Cougar Mellencamp, and Neil Young, who raised money for family farmers in the United States.
Did you say he's from South Africa?
South Africa, Johannesburg, born in Johannesburg.
Diplomatic immunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, wow. You know, and it doesn't even mention Canada, which is probably why his music doesn't do much for you. I know you love that Canadian, that Canadian twang, you
that
know,
Canadian vibe.
I mean, if I feel like if you only had Nickelback and Saga, you could go the rest of your life and still be just as happy as a clam out on the boat.
You know me well. You know me well, my brother Davis.
Well, and speaking of music,
yes,
clumsy segue alert. You know how in scary movies that you don't always see the axe murderer? Like think of Halloween. Okay. That movie, the Halloween movies?
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's super creepy before you even see the guy in the mask, like looking through the window, just sort of lurking there in the woods. Representative Johnson made me think of that. Now let me finish.
Okay.
In that, what gives people the creeps is what you don't see.
Yeah.
Is what he said. It's what you don't see. That's why we need more transparency, he said.
Yeah.
That's such a great point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If we can get rid of any level of the mystery that is assigned to these cattle markets, it will help. There's just no question about it. Okay, the two reports that are being added. The first is the National Daily Direct Formula Base Cattle Report. It will, according to USDA, will enable stakeholders to see the correlation between the negotiated trade and the reported formula base prices, as well as the aggregated values being paid as premiums and discounts. So there's some information there that is going to be very valuable. Daily formula base price reports will be national in scope and released in the morning, summary and afternoon versions. Okay, so we've got a morning report, we've got a summary report, and we've got an afternoon report. The weekly and the monthly formula-based reports will be both national and regional in scope and will include forward contract-based base purchase information. So it's there's going to be some forward-looking information in there. The National Weekly Cattle Net Price Distribution Report will show at what levels price and volume trade occurred across the weekly weighted average price for each purchase type, negotiated, negotiated grid, formula, and forward contract. Currently, the market speculates whether large or small volumes of cattle trade on both sides of the price spread. And in fact, with the premiums and the discounts applied to the prices, the spreads shown on the reports will be wide. I don't think there's any question about that. So more information coming. It's okay. It's good. Some of the mystery removed.
Okay, quickly, my thought here. Is there risk that the thought is, okay, there's your transparency. I don't want to hear any more about it. And that's the end of it.
No.
We keep pushing?
Representative Johnson said very well, what this will do is provide for some additional conversation about what is going on. And it will generate some additional questions is what it's going to do. And once those questions are asked, the conversation is going to pick back up on it.
Oh, good.
And
good.
It will advance things. It will advance things.
I like the sound of that. That's what we need.
Yep. Okay. I got some sad news for the family. My dad passed over the weekend, Davis.
Yeah.
I put out some information or put out word on social media, and the support, you know, it's overwhelming support that comes in at a time like this. And I just want everybody to know how much I appreciate it, how much my family, my entire family appreciates the support and the kind words.
Yes.
And the prayers. You can feel it at a time like this. You'll remember that my mom passed back in April, and some people have made the comment that yeah, you know, sometimes it's not surprising that a spouse will give up, lose the will for life. And that's not what it was with Dad. He was mourning the loss of his wife. There's no question about that. But he was living life. He was sick. He had adult leukemia, which made him extremely vulnerable to any infections. That's what eventually got him. It was an infection that we really couldn't do anything about, and it happened so fast. But he was not a give-up guy.
Yep, so quickly, in fact, that you had a chance just recently to have him out on the boat, to have him with you, and I just wonder, did you play some Nickelback at that point?
Absolutely, we did.
All right.
He appreciated the Nickelback, too.
I bet he loved it.
Thank you so much for all the support. That's the bottom line of that. I'll be off the last couple of days of this week, Thursday and Friday, to be with family and to celebrate his life. So thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Kevin McNew from Farmers Business Network.